today on Compassion Radio.
Mission teams who go to build a church and they're working hard every day to build this church and they're thinking, boy, those men over there from the community just sit there and watch us and they're so lazy. And then the next day they work and sure enough, those guys are watching again. And then they decide to go out on an early morning jog around the community about 3 or 4 days into their week. And they jog past the work site and they realize that all those men were there fixing everything that they had done wrong the day before to make it more sturdy and make it actually a structurally sound building.
When a missionary or missions organization goes to another country, should they be going there to save the people from their circumstances, or should there be a bigger objective? Welcome to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. On today's broadcast, Bram connects with Carol Bremer Bennett, director for World Renew, an organization with a focus on community development and disaster response and rehabilitation, as well as peace and biblical justice for all. This is Frank Montenegro, inviting you to join us for part one of that conversation.
On Compassion Radio today, we have a new friend, Carol Bremer Bennett. You went to school here at Calvin College, and now you're coming back to your alma mater to help set the pace for this Faith and Development Conference. You are international in your scope in the job as Executive Director of the CRC's World Renew Office. Now, World Renew is the arm of the denomination that handles all things having to do with relief work and development and how you make your imprint on the countries where God has you at work. So I want to find out more about that. But first of all, welcome to Compassion Radio.
Thank you. It's great to be with you.
You have an interesting pedigree in that you come from Navajo Nation. You married into family out here in Michigan. So tell me a little about how God brought you to a place of influence and responsibility and authority within a very traditional Dutch denomination. It's not often you'd hear about a Navajo girl taking charge of these kind of activities. So tell me about that. How'd you get
there? So I was adopted when I was an infant and raised by Dutch CRC folks.
Awesome. And they had a very strong presence on the reservation for many years, didn't they?
Yeah. And so actually, my father was a professor at Reformed Bible College, Kuiper College. Mm-hmm. And so growing up, I had the privilege of getting to know a number of Navajos who were coming through Reformed Bible College to become trained evangelists and pastors. And so I had a steady stream of role models and mentors and people who could teach me a bit about the culture that I wasn't surrounded in, but yet born into. And so that was a real blessing in my life. And then when I went to Calvin College, I decided I would take a detour between graduating from Calvin and heading off to graduate school and do a year near the Navajo Reservation and work at Rehoboth Christian School, volunteer, or do whatever. I didn't really have a strong plan. God took that and showed me that that wasn't a detour at all. That was the path he had laid out before me.
And what happened?
And I ended
time?
Up staying for 24 years.
Well, there you
I
go.
Did everything. First, I arrived and fell in love with the place and the people and the land and the culture and the beauty and strong communities and families. Then I ended up becoming a teacher. And then I ended up beginning to utilize my gifts in leadership and administration and became a principal and then an assistant superintendent and finally the superintendent and then executive director of Rehoboth. So I kind of climbed that whole ladder. It was an incredible 24 years. And then God called me to a new space. I became the executive director of World Renew just over 3 years ago now.
Wow. And that is a big leap from being educator and administrator to being initiator, director, and evangelist for all things having to do with the church's application of the gospel in many countries.
Yeah, although, you know, a lot of what World Renew does is education. It's not education in your traditional four-walled classroom with students sitting at desks and, you know, taking subject by subject, but it's holistic, adult participatory learning. It's education without the walls and in the real life, and it's very holistic, and that really feels like the right fit to me. When I was teaching in the Southwest, that was not just in the classroom either because of the situation there and the context. Native children are not isolated little beings. They come with all their clans and all their family and all the ancestors that they represent. And so that education in itself in a very economically depressed area had to be holistic as well. And so that education itself and the ministry and the work there already went beyond those classroom walls.
And there are not many people that can say they are truly embedded in the culture, but at the same time are cross-cultural, because you were raised in a Western culture and have the roots of your Navajo people.
Yeah, I had to do a lot of learning. When I first moved out to the Navajo Nation and felt a bit like, who am I, you know? I had grown up in Grand Rapids, Michigan, thinking, I'm Navajo. And it only took a couple of weeks amongst all the Navajo to realize, oh no, I'm Dutch.
I'm Michigander.
I'm Dutch, oh no, you know? And so that's really been a great journey for me, because I am curious, my eyes and ears are wide open. And as the Navajo say, God gave you two ears and only one mouth. So, you know, use that in proportion correctly. And I was able to learn a lot. And really, at the end of the day, my testimony is that I struggled for a while. You know, who am I? I don't really fit in this world. I don't really fit in that world. Yet, I have this strong sense of I've got purpose and I've got a reason for being here. And so I had to come to the fuller knowledge of, yes, God created me Navajo. Yes, God put me in this Dutch CRC family, but my true identity is as a beloved daughter of God. Yeah. And when I know my identity in that way, I used to say all the other things fall away, but actually I don't believe that. When I know my true identity as a daughter of God, then all the other things fall right into place.
In the proper place.
In the proper place, yeah.
Now, you have a lot in common, I think, with missionary kids, third culture kids we talk about,
right,
that have a sense of identity for the purpose with which their parents brought them to where they maybe were born and raised in another culture. But they're not truly 100% of a nation's culture or history, and they are expected to suddenly be American when they come back to America. And they go through that struggle, even trying to reintegrate, or for the first time, integrate into a new culture, which has happened to be their parents' birthplace. And a lot of those kids tend to fall away from the faith or have their faith disrupted in a lot of ways. And we've worked with many over the years that have had that experience. Do you feel like you're still dealing with the disruption of being torn from one to another? Or did you sense early on that God was building you a true kingdom identity?
That is one struggle that I have not had to face for myself. My parents framed my adoption so well as being chosen. My parents were able to honor the choices that my biological parents had made. Also, as being God-honoring, I have not had to struggle with feeling that God's abandoned me or God's left me somehow. And so I haven't had to have that struggle. I'm blessed. The struggle is real. The struggle is real. And I can even see that in some of my own children. I have six children and five of them are adopted. The truth is that adopted or not, children are children. And even children who are not adopted fall away from the faith. Yes. It's not good to just, you know, think that everything can get identified right to one part of a person and be defined.
Nor would I want to make the case that it's not good for children to be in cross-cultural environments. I think it very much is.
Oh, yeah.
It just has certain challenges to go with it, but incredible opportunities to see the world through God's eyes. Like many people can't. Now, I imagine because of your experience and your good upbringing, your solid sense of identity grounded in Christ, that it makes you a whole lot more compassionate then and sensitive to the needs of the people that your employees that you lead are going to be interacting with around the world. How many countries now?
We're currently in about 30 countries around the world, and that can kind of go up and down depending on the disaster responses that we do.
Are you active in countries where there is a witnessing presence of CRC churches, or because there was needs there that you came in and were the only people available to step up?
I think in the past, we did more hand-in-hand with the mission arm of the Christian Reformed Church, and those were countries that were prioritized to go to. But I think over the years, World Renew started to live into its own call, and that is to go to the world's most marginalized people and find the most vulnerable situations and people living in extreme poverty. And so we've needed to go to places where perhaps the mission arm of the church has not prioritized. Where there is a presence, we still try to cooperate and work together on a field where the Christian Reformed Mission is also located. But we have a lot of places where actually there isn't a strong presence of the CRC mission arm. But we work through as our partners of the local church in the countries that we're in. So that doesn't have to be connected to the CRC. We work with churches that are desiring to reach people living in poverty in their own countries.
Now, that would put you in, shall we say, friendly competition with many multi-denominational or parachurch kind of organizations like World Vision or Compassion International as far as poverty alleviation and development to raise standards to help shore up communities that are faltering, or other specific relief agencies that go where there's a disaster or some conflict. What makes World Renew unique in the way you handle or the kind of things you involve yourselves with that people will say, oh, that's World Renew, it's not somebody else?
Right. Well, certainly our approach to community development through the asset-based community development, certainly the honoring of that local church, so that we are very much in the background because we want the church, the local church, to be seen as the hands and feet of Christ, not our staff. That approach really honors, I think, the role of what God has called the local church to be and to do. So those are some things that really make us unique and strong. And the fact that we've been doing that for a very long time, I think other people, other organizations have realized that that is also critical. And so more and more people are using those kinds of partnerships.
Coming up next, more powerful insight on what it takes to truly serve a community.
It was Desmond Tutu who said, "Hope is being able to see that there is light despite all of the darkness." Friends, this is Bram Floria, and I'd like to tell you about a wonderful opportunity for you to help some of the most at-risk people in the world, children and infants, to bring them out of the darkness of destitution and abandonment and into the hope of a bright future and a better life. It's Store of Hope in Johannesburg, South Africa, and it's seen thousands adopted, fostered, or even reclaimed by family members who had originally abandoned them. The good news is that there are already two very successful baby houses in existence, and our Compassion Radio partners like you had a big part in making those happen in the past. But we all know that babies don't stay babies forever, and that's why Door of Hope, in partnership with Compassion Radio, is seeking again this year to continue the construction of Hope Village. This transformational project will feature a large park playground, a school even, a church, a farm, and will eventually be completely self-sustaining. The kind and loving staff at Hope Village will provide each and every child with spiritual training and education, as well as a marketable skill to use when they grow up. Your financial gift will help ensure that each of these little ones has a chance at a bright and successful future. So please, pray and ask God how He would have you help. When you give, you will be changing the eternal destiny of one child or more, desperately in need of hope right now. And here's the best part. For the first time ever, we have a special challenge grant on this project of $4,000 for this month, which means every dollar you give is going to be doubled if you will give now. Please call us at 1-800-868-2478 during business hours Pacific time or go to CompassionRadio.com to give right away. You can also write us at P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California 92859. Again, that's 1-800-868-2478 or go to CompassionRadio.com. And our mailing address again is P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California 92859. And if you've got a smartphone or a tablet, just text the word KIDS to 53445. That's the word KIDS, K-I-D-S, to 53445. Thank you again for your willingness to be part of what God is doing in the lives of these children and infants in South Africa through the 2019 Compassion Radio Door of Hope Project. God bless you.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
Pleasing to you, the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, my God. You're my rock and my redeemer. You're the
celebrating 75 years in Christian broadcasting. This is Compassion Radio.
I love the idea of multi-denominational investment in each other because we are talking about the kingdom of God here. Mm-hmm. We're not talking about a Baptist kingdom. We're not talking about a Reformed kingdom. We're not talking about a Pentecostal kingdom. It's God's kingdom.
Right.
That means you probably have to be very sensitive and culturally aware of how different worship and expression and witness can be in these countries, and work within the constraints of how God has established his kingdom where it is, which can be very strange for people who jump from one country to the next, realize the protocols are all different here. We're getting to the same objective. We're actually meeting needs and developing communities and bringing the gospel forward, but it feels very different than it might have 1,000 miles away.
Mm-hmm. Well, and more World Renew is hiring staff that are nationals to the country that we're working in. So we are making great strides and not having to do a lot of language teaching and culture learning because we're raising up leaders right within their own countries who we can build a lot of capacity in. Yeah. And even if they end up not working for World Renew forever, this is their home.
You've invested
and
in their
so
country.
And so we've invested in them, and they're going to invest and become and rise up as leaders in their countries. That's one of the things that is a huge benefit that World Renew does. We don't like people to leave the organization and go work in other areas, but we understand God calls them to do that. It's one of the collateral benefits, we call, of being World Renew.
Yeah, corporate culture, you might think about the problem of churn, people coming through an organization and taking away the assets of knowledge that your company has invested in them and then using it someplace else for another competitor. In the kingdom, of course, this is about building one thing, which is his kingdom. Which means he's going to build it. He's the CEO anyway of all these different divisions of his corporation, so to speak.
Right.
So you get your little slice of it.
Yeah, we are not in some kind of zero-sum game when we are working on kingdom building. And we don't serve a God of scarcity either. Mm. So we serve a God of abundance. And we delight in the people who come and learn and work alongside of us. In turn, oftentimes they can start their own work and we get to come and serve and learn alongside of them back again. So it's really quite a multiplying effect that we get to be a part of.
Now, your objective here and your mandate for coming as a speaker and a plenary session leader is to talk about the difference between serving and receiving and loving in the context of Christ's kingdom, as opposed to living ignorantly in a Messiah complex, being a savior appointed by God to save people from their selves in the countries where they live. And of course, there's been kind of an imperialism of evangelical missions over the past 200 or 300 years, which has brought the gospel to many places on the planet, but has also denigrated the cultures and the peoples that it was sent to serve. There are great examples of missionaries across the centuries that have honored everything God was doing in the context they find themselves. And there have been other horror stories of the abuse happening to indigenous peoples as these Western missionaries have gone in. Now, of course, the media is camped out on the horror stories. Mm. And they assume that if it's Christian coming to a country, it must be oppressive. And so there is a pushback from many sectors. You're talking to people who already understand and value diversity and pluralism as far as a cultural context, but the unity to be found in Christ and the power he has to transform hearts, lives, communities, and the world. So they're already in the boat with you saying, we need to love them for who they are. But you're saying that the savior complex creeps in lots of insidious ways. So even as we think about giving to missions or giving to special projects around the world, how does that kind of imperialism in our own thinking creep in without us even knowing it?
Yeah. You know, one of the things that I see is that people do tell themselves some lies when they think about people who are living in poverty. One of the lies is that, well, people who live in poverty are that way because they don't have resources and they don't know anything. They don't have skills to use the resources they do. So we send a bunch of high school students, you know, to go build a building or, you know, fix
a
church
resource.
Or something. Yeah. And these high school students don't know how to build a building either, you know? And there's tragically hilarious stories of mission teams who go to build a church and they're working hard every day to build this church. And they're thinking, boy, those men over there from the community just sit there and watch us and they're so lazy. And then the next day they work and sure enough, those guys are watching again. And then a couple of the youth group workers started to kind of adjust to the time zone and they decided to go out on an early morning jog around the community about 3 or 4 days into their week. And they jogged past the work site and they realized that all those men were there fixing everything that they had done wrong the day before to make it more sturdy and make it actually a structurally sound building.
This is Compassion Radio, and we'll hear more from Bram and his guest, Carol Bremer Bennett, next time. If you missed anything today, you can listen again anytime. Just open up a browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet, and go to CompassionRadio.com. And while you're there, go ahead and take a moment to find out more about this ministry. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you liked what you heard, please consider supporting Compassion Radio. First, with your prayers. When you pray for us, God increases the effectiveness of this ministry by empowering the Compassion Radio team for service and by opening doors of opportunity for us to be a blessing to the body of Christ. Second, please share this broadcast with a friend or loved one. This will help us reach as many people as possible with the important work God is doing in the lives of those who live in a missional way. And finally, please consider supporting this ministry financially. Compassion Radio is 100% listener-supported. That means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. You can support Compassion Radio right now by calling 800-868-2478 or by visiting CompassionRadio.com. When you're there, just click on the Donate button. Again, it's 800-868-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you'd like to show your support using your smartphone or tablet, you can just text the word COMPASSION to 53445. That's the word COMPASSION to 53445. And of course, you can always mail your gift to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California 92859. Thanks again so very much for taking the time out of your busy day to listen. And please be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Ventures Incorporated and your generous financial support.
It was Desmond Tutu who said, "Hope is being able to see that there is light despite all of the darkness." Friends, this is Bram Floria, and I'd like to tell you about a wonderful opportunity for you to help some of the most at-risk people in the world, children and infants, to bring them out of the darkness of destitution and abandonment and into the hope of a bright future and a better life. It's Store of Hope in Johannesburg, South Africa, and it's seen thousands adopted, fostered, or even reclaimed by family members who had originally abandoned them. The good news is that there are already two very successful baby houses in existence, and our Compassion Radio partners like you had a big part in making those happen in the past. But we all know that babies don't stay babies forever, and that's why Door of Hope, in partnership with Compassion Radio, is seeking again this year to continue the construction of Hope Village. This transformational project will feature a large park playground, a school even, a church, a farm, and will eventually be completely self-sustaining. The kind and loving staff at Hope Village will provide each and every child with spiritual training and education, as well as a marketable skill to use when they grow up. Your financial gift will help ensure that each of these little ones has a chance at a bright and successful future. So please, pray and ask God how He would have you help. When you give, you'll be changing the eternal destiny of one child or more. desperately in need of hope right now. And here's the best part. For the first time ever, we have a special challenge grant on this project of $4,000 for this month, which means every dollar you give is going to be doubled if you will give now. Please call us at 1-800-868-2478 during business hours Pacific time or go to CompassionRadio.com to give right away. You can also write us at P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Again, that's 1-800-868-2478 or go to CompassionRadio.com. And our mailing address again is P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And if you've got a smartphone or a tablet, just text the word KIDS to 53445. That's the word KIDS, K-I-D-S, to 53445. Thank you again for your willingness to be part of what God is doing in the lives of these children and infants in South Africa through the 2019 Compassion Radio Door of Hope Project. God bless you.